Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for today's church leaders. I'm Andrew Cook and I'm glad that we can be together. Union with Christ, more in this series. A title most people would never use to describe their pastor, Adrian Reynolds looks at another New Testament word. We're joined again here on Serving Today by Clive Bauscher for two more talks on union with Christ. And to introduce the first of these, it's over to Clive.
The theme this time is love that sends out, based on John chapter 13 again, verses 12 to 20 here and verses 31 to 35.
John chapter 13 is well known for a very striking illustration of love, isn't it?
Yes, it's Jesus' foot washing of the disciples, isn't it? And I think it can be really helpful to take time out just to meditate on this scene and to picture it and to really take in what Jesus is doing here as he gets up from the supper table. Having washed his disciples' feet, Jesus tells them in verse 14,
"You also should wash one another's feet."
The humility Jesus has just shown them comes from his secure identity, doesn't it? You hear about that in verse 3.
Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God.
And they are to show one another the same humility and sacrificial love that he's just modelled for them in the foot washing. Verse 15.
"I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you."
That's why he says a bit later on in verse 34.
"A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another."
So our love and our lives are to be shaped just like Jesus' love and life. His life in this world and ours has the same source, that unbreakable relationship with God. And so our lives are to have the same look. Our lives are to be Jesus-shaped. And when you think about it, Jesus' life and love is both sacrificial and missional.
Clive, could you perhaps explain for us that word, missional?
Yes, when you look at Jesus' life and his words, what he's doing is showing people the Father's love and conveying that love and life to others. And as he does that, he does it in a love that is costly and that reveals the Father who sent him. That's why Jesus says in verse 16 that when his disciples love like him, they are messengers. They are sent by him, Jesus, with the very same purpose of bringing people into relationship with God. We see that also in verse 20.
"Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me."
You see, Jesus is talking there as well about sending his disciples, about sending us. And there are two promises here for us. If we take Jesus and his love to the world, we will know happiness from God, verse 17, albeit alongside suffering.
"Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
And when people see how we love them and love one another,
"Everyone will know that you are my disciples."
Others will start loving and following Jesus for themselves.
And as we close, Clive, such an understanding of what love means surely brings a challenge to us, doesn't it?
It really does. How can we know and receive this love of Jesus without being changed by it and wanting to share it with others? Andrew, I think it's a challenge to share in Jesus' sufferings as well as in his life. And of course, the better we know him, the more our lives will be shaped by him, the more we'll become like him, and we'll find ourselves becoming increasingly willing to lay down our own lives to bring this life of Christ to other people.
So we've seen love that sends out. Here's Clive again with the title of his second talk in our series on union with Christ.
love that leans, and we're going to base that on John chapter 13, verses 21 to 30, but we'll read verses 23 to 25 just now.
One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?"
Still at the supper, Jesus has just declared that one of the group will betray him. So Simon Peter gets the beloved disciple to ask Jesus about it. That's verse 24. This is the disciple who wrote this gospel as a true testimony, so that by believing we may have life in Jesus' name. That's John 20, verse 31. I don't know if you've clicked to the fact that we're learning about fellowship and relationship with Christ from an eyewitness of his earthly life, from this beloved disciple, someone who himself experienced the personal friendship of Jesus. This is someone who knew that he was always welcomed and loved by Jesus. You can see that in verses 23 to 25. And there's also an obvious and disturbing comparison with Judas Iscariot, isn't there, whom Jesus identifies as the betrayer in verse 26.
Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot.
Yes, so we see that while one disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved, is close to Jesus at the dinner table, another person, Judas, moves even further away from Jesus. And for Judas, that means darkness. Verse 30.
As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night.
But the gospel author and disciple whom Jesus loves stands here for everyone who has said yes to Jesus and so enjoys that you in me and I in you relationship that we're looking at in this series of talks. Again, we're wonderfully reminded that this is the same kind of relationship that the Son has with the Father, Andrew. This is love that we can lean into. The Son, remember, is in the bosom of the Father. You read that in chapter 1 of the Gospel, don't you? And this disciple in verses 23 and 25 is astonishingly at the table, leaning back on Jesus' bosom or chest, as friends did at meals in those days. It's exactly the same word as in John chapter 1, verse 18, talking about Jesus the Son in relationship with the Father.
No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known.
What a beautiful picture of the closeness, intimacy, and friendship we have with Jesus. We can imagine ourselves in the same position as the disciple who Jesus loved, leaning back on Jesus' chest, close to his heart.
And how can we emphasise this point?
It's really good, isn't it, just to think of ourselves being invited to lean into him. Our love for Jesus is love that leans into him, into his love for us, and he welcomes us to do that.
And now to that unusual title for a church leader. Ian Flanders talks with Adrian Reynolds again to discover what this is.
We're looking together at different word pictures that the New Testament uses to describe church leaders. And which of these do you want to consider today, Adrian?
Well, Ian, the one I'd like to consider today is perhaps one of the hardest to understand. I think you'll certainly find it will challenge you. It's challenged me. Let's read the passage where we find it, then perhaps we can think about what it means. So, Ian, perhaps you could read for us 1 Corinthians 4, verses 11 to 13.
Certainly these are words written by the Apostle Paul, who says, "To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags, we are brutally treated, we are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. And when we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world."
Thank you, Ian. The word I want to pick up on is in verse 13. It's the word scum. could be translated garbage, vegetable peelings, if you like. In the time of Paul, it had come to mean people who were at the very bottom of society. In fact, our listeners in India have just the right example. It would have been the word used for the untouchables. This is actually what Paul is saying. To be a minister of the gospel is to be counted as an untouchable. To be a servant of Jesus is to be an untouchable rubbish waste. What can he mean?
Some people can't believe that Paul is being serious here. They think he was just joking or using sarcasm to make a point. What do you think, Adrian?
Well, I don't agree with that, Ian. Think about it like this. The society of Paul's time was built on honour. It was about knowing the right people. It was all about being in the right places, going to the important places. It was about honour and pride. And the people at the bottom had none of that. They were the untouchables. Paul is saying that that is what we are as ministers of the gospel. That is what we have to be prepared to be.
But why does Paul describe himself in this way in the particular context of him writing to the church in Corinth?
Well, quite simply, Ian, because that's not how the Corinthians were. They were proud. They thought they were rich. They saw themselves as kings and rulers. They thought they were super Christians. And Paul refuses to play their game. But he does challenge them. And he challenges us too.
And in what ways is this a challenge to us? What exactly are we to learn from all this?
Well, let me give you three ideas that all come from this picture.
Well, let's start with the first of them then.
Well, first of all, it means being seen by the world as a waste. If you serve Jesus Christ, the world may think you are nothing. The world may think you are scum. Here's a very real example of what can happen. When I decided that God was calling me to become a pastor, I told my father. My father's not a Christian, but let me tell you what he said. What a waste, he said. That's a rubbish job. Why do you want to do that? You're much better than that. You can do much better than that. In other words, he thought that being a pastor was beneath me. He didn't realise it's the best job in the world. So don't expect that others will understand what you are doing. They'll not understand that you are happy to work for Jesus Christ. They will think that you're making yourself like the scum, the untouchables, but it doesn't matter. Now, that shouldn't come as any surprise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, a little bit earlier, verse 18, Paul writes that the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing. People who are not Christians cannot understand our message. They think it's foolish. They think it's stupid. And they'll think the messengers, that's us, that we are too. So the question for us really is, are we willing to be seen by the world as nothing? Are we willing to lose all our standing amongst friends and family, village, in the town, in the city where we live? Are we willing to be seen as untouchables for the sake of Jesus? That's a hard calling, but it's the reality of being a church leader in today's world.
And with that challenge, we must bring today's programme to a close. Thank you for being with us, and we hope you can join us next time here on Serving Today. So until then, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May you know much joy in serving the Lord. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.